the very first day that you launch an Amazon sponsored product campaign can be a dreadful, scary process. There's lots of options that you might not have recognized. What campaigns do you even launch? Don't worry, Elizabeth and I are going to break that down for you today. Let's jump into the PPC Den podcast, the home of the world's first and longest running show all about Amazon advertising. Let's jump into it.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bid, set placements too. Now bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of broad keywords, but I've gone through. We are the PPC Den, my friends, and we'll keep up the fighting till the end. You two are the PPC Den. We talk about Amazon. No time for many cars, cause we fix the gambit of the world.
Elizabeth Green from Jungler, welcome back to the PPC Den podcast. Thanks so much for coming back to the show. I always love when you're on the show, and I know the people out there in Badger Nation do too. So thank you.
I hope so, because I like being here. So I hope the feeling is mutual with the audience as well.
Yeah, it's nice and safe and warm and comfortable here in the Badger Den. I'm going to be visiting Florida soon.
Yes,
I can't wait to do some
right.
In-person masterminding together.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah. Going to be cool. Today we have a special one. Today we have the basics. Today we have something that's going to be really useful to many, many people. In fact, I remember my first couple times going into Amazon advertising, clicking that create new campaign button and being completely overwhelmed with the options. So we're going to go to the foundations today, Elizabeth. We're going to go into the advertising console. We're going to share our screen, and we're actually going to walk through what you even see when you go to create a new sponsor products, a sponsor brand, sponsor display campaign. We're going to break down the terminology. We're going to talk about what the settings mean. We're going to talk about what settings we pick when we start launching these campaigns. Do you remember that yourself? The I don't know if you want to call it anxiety, fear, wonderment of looking at these campaign screens. Do you remember that from the early days?
I do. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be a fun episode. You probably get those questions, I don't know, often, but on occasion, you know, new people coming in, and you could just hear their own anxiety of it's new, right? Everything's new. You're worried you're going to toggle a switch somewhere and all of a sudden your ad spend is going to go crazy and, you know, it's not going to be efficient. And you feel like you don't know what you're doing. I think all of us remember. I was lucky enough when I started getting into it. I wasn't a day one person with the ad console. So I had a couple of YouTube videos. Still, like, there wasn't as much content as there was now. Ad Badger was around. And other ones, but some people would go on, oh, here's how you set it up for. And so you're literally like watching the video, going back to the ad console, clicking through, okay, what's the next step? And like trying to like just walk through and figure it out. And back then, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into, you know, what does it look like to launch the auto campaign? Like there's so many more drop downs and buttons. And we were kind of chuckling a little bit before this when we went into look at what the sponsored brand ads looked like, and sometimes Amazon's explanations are, to be honest, a little bit self-serving. So for instance, like looking at when you're saying optimize for page views, you know, it's a cost per click model, they're like, oh, the goal is more clicks. Or when you're optimizing like a VCPM model, they're like, oh, the goal is impression. With like That's true within the models. Like, let's be honest, what we're all optimizing for is ad sales, right? So it'll be a good discussion. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. So yeah, this, it's funny too, even looking at these screens, I will say the first thing when you go here and you're ready to create a new campaign, you're greeted with these three screens. And I bet that there are teams of people dedicated to just being sure you do not leave the screen without creating a campaign. That Amazon probably considers a failure, right? More campaigns means you're spending more. I mean, that's wonderful. And I want to, just for the sake of, you know, demonstration here, if I just click on create a new campaign and then I want to then click, you know what? How do I get out of here? It prompts me don't leave, stay here, keep going. Why are you leaving? The reason I mentioned this right here, this should set the tone that a lot of the settings here are just to get you to launch stuff. So hopefully we can give people some guidance about what this setting really means, because the goal here is to just get you to launch a campaign. The goal here is to get you to launch the biggest, potentially most broad campaign possible. So we're going to be sort of trying to our best to decipher what each setting means and what the implication means for all this stuff. Without further ado, Elizabeth, let's kick it off. So when we click create a new campaign, we've got sponsored product, sponsored brand, sponsored display. Let's start with sponsored products. Do you agree with our definition here? Sponsored products can help promote products to shoppers actively searching while with related keywords or viewing similar products on Amazon. Automatically find keywords, target keywords, track return on ad spend.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty accurate. I mean, sponsored products are going to be, I think, where anyone who is new to Amazon advertising will start. And if I were to do a product launch and setting up ads from scratch, it would still be where I'm going to start. There's a lot of new advertisers that feel like, oh, there's all these ad types, and if I don't do all the above, I'm not a good advertiser. Just, you know, if you're watching this and this, you know, you're trying to figure out where to start, where to focus, I don't care how advanced you get in your journey as an Amazon ad manager, you will always start with sponsored products. Bar none.
Yes. The main ad type. Yes. So when we go ahead and we click this, I'm greeted by, did it skip a step? I'm already in the ad groups section.
No, it's confusing. For those who have been inside the ad console and launching stuff for a while, it used to be this was flip-flop. It used to be you started at the campaign level, you set up your campaign settings, and then you would start to drill down into what we're looking at right now, which is the ad group, and then you would go along your merry way. And to be honest, that's where my brain still works at. I prefer to set up the campaign settings first. And so oftentimes I'm finding myself doing exactly what Michael's doing, is scrolling all the way down to the bottom where the campaign settings are, doing that first, naming my campaign, and then rolling back up to the ad group level and then going through what used to be the last step, which is now the first step.
So right away we're confusing people because it is confusing, right? Why create the ad group before the campaign? Perplexing. Where would you like to begin?
Let's start at the top and work our way down the way the interface is, so we don't tell people they have to jump around when maybe
because it might move again.
Don't have to.
Yeah. So we're greeted with a text box ad group name. It's asking me to name it by default. This atrocious name, ad group dash the date, the time, down to the hours, minutes, seconds, and microseconds.
Yes.
Milliseconds. Why would anyone name something like this? So Elizabeth, naming, it's a helpful thing. What's a good ad group name? Format.
So that is a whole nother episode in and of itself. I will say, I'll give you the hopefully somewhat succinct answer of how we prefer to name things. For context here, what we prefer the structure to be one ad group per campaign. So oftentimes what we'll do is we'll name the campaign the exact same thing as the ad group. It has been our default for years, honestly. And our, in this case, ad group name, you know, also campaign name if we're starting there, we tend to put what we call a product identifier. Now, a product identifier can be whatever you so choose. Some people choose text values. We might also do text values as well as ASIN or SKU. Some indicator, hey, these are the products I'm advertising in within this campaign. When you start doing analytics, you start looking at the dashboards, you start looking into reporting, it can be very difficult to understand what products you're actually advertising in that particular campaign or to sort and filter the campaigns for a specific product, or we call them product groups. And so we like to put this at the beginning. It makes it very easy to understand. I would recommend putting it somewhere within your campaign name. The next thing that we'll do is we will have, some people like dashes, some people like pipes. It doesn't really matter. We do add some sort of, again, Michael's putting a dash here, or pipe, either or. I like putting the ad type, which in this part is sponsored products. We do, we'll abbreviate them because this the campaign name I'm going to give you is quite long. So we would put like SP. Now, again, for context and how we choose to set up campaigns, I'm sure we'll walk through, you know, like match types and keyword targeting and all that good stuff. But we also like to put both the ad type as well as what match types we are using in the campaign. Again, for context, our preferred ad structure is typically a single match type per campaign, which again, with a single ad group, so we specify it very distinctly. That again helps add context. Then the next thing we will do is where we got these keywords. Now, in this case, we're walking through the campaign. And so we'll probably need, there are suggested keywords in here. If our intent was to launch suggested keywords, we would actually put this in our campaign, you know, like Amazon suggested or something. And typically we'll like abbreviate things as well, because as you can imagine, this can get very long. But we, in addition to this, so we're looking at the keyword set, and then we'll do, if applicable, the strategy for this campaign. For example, if we're doing a ranking strategy, maybe this is a low bid strategy, maybe these are top competitor ASINs, with some context to say, okay, what am I trying to accomplish here? For some, that may be a specific ROAS goal, ACOS goals, maybe you're trying to accelerate sales, just some context to understand what is going on. And then the last thing that we will put on here would be the date that we launched, just because sometimes understanding, again, when things were launched, you can sort and filter inside of, or you can sort inside of the ad console, but you can't, when you get into reporting and using that reporting for analytics, it's really difficult to understand when the campaign was launched. And so that's an added layer of context that we find very helpful.
Amazing. Yes. If this is a person's first time launching, this is going to be a fantastic ad group name, product, campaign type. You know, if this is your first time looking at it, you might not know exactly what you're launching yet, the keywords or auto-targeting or whatever it might be. So let's keep going. Let's walk through here. Let's pick a product. I'm going to pick desk speaker. This is a demo account.
I suppose we could just walk through the next step in this process when you're creating an ad group is to add what products you're advertising into the ad group. So again, we're assuming, which even if this is your first campaign launch and you're still a little bit unsure of what you're going to be doing with this campaign, you still should have some idea of what you're trying to accomplish. Oh, I need to build that advertising for this new product. Oh, I want to go and launch an automatic, like you probably, I don't believe anyone, maybe there's somebody out there, but I don't believe anyone's going through and going, I want to launch a campaign today. Let me go, let the interface decide for me. You're probably coming to it with some specific
yes.
rationale. And so if you know what products you're advertising, then you know you select the products.
Yeah,
to
a
be
question
advertised.
People probably might have here at this point is, do I have all my products in one ad group? Do I have just one product in one ad group? How would you answer that today?
It is a good question, a very good question. We tend to use, so for context, I would say we group them on a listing level, which is also a parent ASIN level. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way we view things, because traffic is driven to a listing. So we like to think of it in terms of traffic flows. Now, for context, like, so we deal a lot in clothing, for context. So that very possibly with one listing could have 100 products on it in clothing. So it is possible that all of those 100 products will drive traffic to the same landing spot, right? So then when you're determining where the traffic flow is going, what we're then looking at is all of those 100 variations and saying which variation is going to get me the best performance for my traffic flow. And that would be how I would go about thinking through that.
Awesome. Yeah, so if you're watching this and you have one product, the answer is easy for you. If you have multiple products, a really simple way to get started is to ask yourself, is this parent ASIN and child ASIN relationship? If it is, you can probably put them together. And of course, if they're two different parents, you're probably going to want to create separate campaigns for each individual product.
I would agree with that, sure.
So then we're greeted with some targeting options, and these are ad group settings. So we can either have automatic targeting, and when we do, we have an automatic targeting subsection pop up. So let's talk about this. If somebody's launching their very first campaigns and watching and follow along, they'll probably have the question of which one do I pick here? And the answer is really, well, you can only create one at a time, but ultimately you will have all these options running, meaning you will launch one with an automatic targeting. We'll talk about that. And then you'll come back here and you'll separately launch ones at some point with keyword and product targeting as well. So it's in terms of understanding these options, it's not so much either or, it's more so when are you launching these. So let's walk through automatic targeting. Automatic targeting, you can see that the keyword targeting disappears. My options for keywords goes away, and it's just automatic. They're going to target keywords that they believe are related to my product. And when I'm here, I have a default bid, or I can set bids by targeting group. And if I can make a recommendation to people, anytime you have something with more options, take advantage of them, get into the habit of taking advantage of them, just to get into the habit of realizing and customizing and pushing and tweaking. It's just good practice. This first option, if I set this, it will change all my four auto targets. Or if I set by targeting group, I can change my auto targets to whatever I want. Now, the question is, people look at this and they're like, I see some suggested bids. I see some close mess, loose match, substitutes, compliments. You know, at this stage of the game, imagine it's brand new. What do you say to the person who's launching the campaigns for the first time? What they should type in? Do they just go with a suggested bid? I see a low end, a high end, and a mid range. What should I be doing here?
Yeah, so if we were doing, say, like a one-on-one consultation and we were looking at this specific scenario, I would probably say these suggested bids look fine. And the reason why is because these suggested bids are not crazy. Now, I am not going to on this podcast say, yeah, always go with the suggested bids. The reason being is that we have been in accounts where you look at the suggested bids and the suggested bids can be upwards of $2. Which can be quite expensive and also get very, very expensive if that is present in an automatic campaign. So for that, if we have the advantage of looking at suggested bids, which you do have, it's a very distinct advantage if you're launching something manually through the ad console. That's actually one of the perks of doing this manually, is to have access to data like this. So very often what we will do is we will look at the suggested bids and take our clues from the suggested bids as to where to start the launch. And if I was going in here and I was doing this, I'm looking at, so if you're just listening in, it's 48 cents for close match, 39 cents for loose match, substitute is 46 cents, and compliments is 52 cents. Now, also for context, I happen to know because I've been doing this for a while, typically speaking, compliments don't always perform very well. And I'm actually noticing that that one has the highest suggested bid. So I most likely would probably lower that a little bit. And again, this just pretty much every account I've been in has had lower performance on that ad or that match type. But if I'm looking at the rest of these suggested bids, they look fine. So typically what we will do or the team will do is we will look at the suggested bids, kind of analyze them to see how reasonable and or unreasonable they will be for us. And if I was staring down the barrel of, again, $2 bids, I would probably look at the lowest end of the suggested range and see if I might go that low with them. And then sometimes the lower end of the suggested range is even a dollar. So here I also want to have context for my product and what I can afford. This gets probably slightly more technical, but just think of it as in terms of clicks, right? So what is my budget? If I have a budget of, I'm going to say I have really low, like I'm starting out, I'm freaking out, I don't know what I should do. I'm like, I'm just going to start with $20 a day. I can stomach $20 a day. If you have a dollar bid, that's only 20 clicks for your entire ad account. That's a really, really, that's not very many clicks. That's not a lot of data. And so therefore, you want to see, maybe I can go down to 50 cents potentially. Now, contextually here, the suggested bids kind of give you an idea of how competitive this auction is, because that's what our bids are. We're showing up to the auction with our bid and saying, hey, Amazon, I'm willing to pay this much for this click. Can you give me anything for it? And if your competition comes up and go, hey, Amazon, they told you they give you 50 cents. I'm going to give you $2. Amazon's like, thank you very much. I'll take the $2. I'm sorry. I can't do anything with 50 cents. I don't have anything priced at that. And you get no clicks and you get no impressions. And then those lack of impressions leads to no clicks on the campaign. And so contextually, that's what we're trying to do with our bids. We're trying to see, okay, I know my goal of setting up an advertising campaign is to drive traffic to my product, which should ideally convert to sales. That's my end goal. And I'm trying to at least launch these at a bid that I feel as if I can stomach. So we show up to the ad auction with our initial bids. And then based on, you know, the analysis we do afterwards, am I getting any traffic for this? Am I getting any impressions? Am I entering into the ad auction at all? No impressions. Okay, you can increase the bids. And that's how you want to think of these starting bids. And the thing with this is your starting point. Nobody finishes where they started. You will go through multiple iterations of your bids, and that is okay. And that is actually the best way to do it. I don't care how good you are as an advertiser, how much data you have on an account. You are never going, I don't say never, you get the weird unicorns, but like, you're pretty much never going to hit your starting bids. And I realize as someone who might be, you know, if you're listening, you're very new to Amazon, you're looking at these bids and you're worried. I lack any context. I don't even fully understand maybe how the ad auction functions, or I'm worried what this is going to look like or where this is going to end up. And that's okay. The fact is, you just need to start somewhere. And the suggested bids, it gives you a good benchmark, and then figure out within that benchmark what's going to make sense for you.
Yeah. Well said. Especially the part that this is your starting point. Later on, you'll be looking at your campaigns and you can change all this stuff up. So it doesn't matter technically it doesn't matter what you put in here. In fact, assume that it's the wrong number and that you will have to go in later and increase it or decrease it. That said, starting lower is generally better for newer people. Mm-hmm. So looking at the middle point, probably pretty good. Looking at the low end, probably pretty good. You know, if you're selling like a $20 product, bidding, starting bids at like upper 30s, mid 40s, pretty good. Moving our way down to the negative keyword targeting. Someone who's launching and just new, I would definitely recommend that they do some kind of paying attention to negatives right from the get-go. It's just sort of good practice. And we have these sort of two buckets here for negative keyword targeting and negative product targeting. And I think it's really funny that Amazon is more than likely to suggest keywords to advertise on, many of them, I have hundreds. And however, when it comes time to suggest keywords that I want to block that might underperform for me, I have no suggestions. I just have an empty box. And the question here is, like, when you're just starting off, what do you enter? And you have the options, negative exact and negative phrase. At this point, if someone made it here and they've never used a keyword research tool before, is that possible to have people made it here without using a keyword research tool? It is actually. It is possible that someone made it here without using a keyword research tool. Probably the easiest proper keyword research tool is like the Google Keyword Planner. It's free. There's also some other like free keyword research tools. I haven't used a free keyword research tool in a very long time, so I don't know any off the top of my head, but some kind of thing that will give you ideas. What I generally do is I try to find negatives. So I will go use one of these tools and I will type in, you know, computer speaker, and I'll try to find unrelated terms. If you want to save time, if you just click manual targeting, keyword targeting, it's just going to suggest things related to my product. And then I might find something that's going to be irrelevant to my product. So maybe my speakers aren't applicable to the classroom. Maybe I don't have a sound bar. So what I would do is I would just bring up a little text editor and I would just go like this. And I would come over here and I would look for things like, you know, sound bar and monitor sound bar. And I would spend a couple minutes just going through here. If I was completely new, if my speakers don't work for Mac, you know, Mac speakers, and I would just try to populate some, maybe aim for 10, just to get into the habit of doing it. And I would just look for terms that are very unrelated to my product. I would come back here, automatic targeting, and scroll down. And then I would add these as negatives. In terms of understanding negative exact versus negative phrase at this point in time, it's probably worth mentioning. So we have these negative exacts, which means if someone searches exactly soundbar, it will not trigger my ad. But like, let's say there's many different kinds of soundbars. You know, soundbar monitor, for example, and I have some suggestions here. If I don't want to show up for any of these terms, then maybe I would select negative phrase and it would block every phrase that someone could search with the word soundbar. So I would say get into the habit of adding negative keywords. What I just demonstrated is a really simple way to find some negatives just using Amazon's keyword suggester. Anything else to say about negative keywords?
I don't think no. So I liked your emphasis, and I want to push the emphasis further on the unrelated to my product sort of focus that Michael was having. I would say if you're going to preemptively add negative keywords, and for context, actually, as an agency, we don't typically preemptively add negatives. There are reasons why you would want to as you get to know a product. So our default is maybe not to do this as extensively. But the way in which Michael's going about it, if you have no, so we're going about it not having any data, right? We're assuming that soundbar is not going to work. But if my product is legitimately doesn't have a soundbar, if it legitimately is not a Mac speaker, it makes sense for me to never pay for clicks on those particular searches. Because even if somebody clicks through, they were like, oh, it's not compatible, or worse, maybe they do click through and purchase and then return because it's not compatible and they didn't realize that. So going about it in this manner makes a lot of sense. And then going down to, so we're adding negative keywords, which would be applicable if you're doing keyword targeting. However, we're doing automatic targeting. And so that means it targets both keywords as well as product pages is where you will show up. One really good practice to get into the habit of is adding your own products as negative product targets into your auto campaigns. I don't want anyone to hear that and think, oh, she just said I shouldn't be targeting my own products. That is incorrect. That is a very good strategy to run. It's called, it's often referred to as brand defensive strategies. It is a strategy we run extensively, and I would highly recommend you run. The thing is that typically speaking, you perform very well on your own products. And if those really good performing products show up in this campaign, what will happen is you'll just simply be looking at the campaign level and you'll be like, oh my goodness, performance is fantastic. This is amazing. And then what's really happening is you're simply pulling from your own brand recognition and you're not pushing yourself and growing your market share. So it's really good practice to do that. And that would actually be, I think, the one place where we would preemptively add a negative keyword is not only negating my own, our own ASINs within our catalog, it would be also negating our brand name.
Right. So if I, in this case, was selling computer speakers, I would go in here and I would block that from the list. Yeah, so for someone who's just starting out and perhaps you don't know just yet brand defense, the meaning of that, you might just err on not adding those for now, I would say. But of course, if you... Yeah, I guess so. It's not too complicated to understand. So basically, negative product targeting, you would be punching in your other products that
and if you clicked on here. If you clicked on that enter list section, so there's that search option Michael was just using, if you click on entered list, that's where you can add a list. So most likely, if you have a list of your own products, which most of us keep lists somewhere of all of our ASINs, you could simply just copy and paste that list in here, and it shouldn't be too difficult to find those.
Right. Cool. If we scroll down to campaign bidding strategy, we're now in the campaign section. But before we do, let's go back up top and just talk about the other option here, manual targeting. So for someone who's just starting off, you will launch an automatic targeting campaign. And, you know, maybe we just, let's just finish the automatic targeting, the whole thing. We'll come back and do the manual targeting for sponsored products. But basically, campaign bidding strategy, we have three of them. If someone's just starting out, it's day one, what's going to be the most beginner-friendly thing to know what to choose here? Because we've got some, this is really probably the first time people are confused. It says campaigns using dynamic bids up and down delivered 1.8x more sales at 4% lower ROAS, Amazon internal data 2022, campaign bidding strategy. So like, what on earth am I looking at? The tool tip isn't very helpful. Choose how you want to pay for clicks.
Yes. I'm going to make it super simple and say choose dynamic down only all the way. I can make an argument in certain cases for a fixed bid strategy. I have even a more limited and very selective and very tactical use cases for dynamic bids up and down. So I would say if everything you picked across the board forever was dynamic bids up and down only on sponsored product ads, you'll be fine.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. It's the safest option compared to the up and down, which will potentially double your bid in order to what it believes can gain a sale. Dynamic bids down only will lower your bids. So it's the safest one. I would also advise people who are just starting out to select that one. We're then greeted with an adjust bids by placement. Now, if someone's just starting off right here, right now, how much should we touch on these? And I'll define them, then we can get into it. Top of search, rest of search product pages. Let's actually go to a product page really quick. If I type in computer speaker and we jump in here, I've got our sponsored brand, which we will perhaps talk about on another episode. But then right here, this is a not a, funny enough, this is not a sponsored placement, this first one. It's just the Amazon's basics one.
Amazon's giving itself.
I wonder how it got there. 62,000 reviews. Okay, it does have an insane amount of reviews. But the first sponsored placement, what a weird looking...
It's a vertical search, page.
Search result. Vertical search. I wonder if it's because I have so many extensions going around here. But top of search would generally be referred to as the first row, the first row of products.
I believe it's defined as the first four sponsored product placements. Yeah. If I'm understanding correctly, that's the technical definition.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So yeah, the top of search, if I scroll down, we have rest of search, which are like the next four, the beyond the four. And then if we go to a specific product page and we scroll down, we'll be hit with product page sponsored products, which are right here. So these are product page. So it's basically saying, do you want to pay more for your product pages? Do you want to pay more for your top of search? Do you want to pay more for your rest of search? It'll become a lot clearer once you're looking at your campaigns and you're seeing your data where it's like, oh, wow, my top of search is doing really good. Let me give it a little boost, or rest of search or product pages. When you're just starting out and we don't have any data or frame of reference, what's the recommendation? And maybe our answers are going to be different here, but what's your general recommendation for, you know, first day, first campaign? What are we typing in here?
I would, if you're first starting out, I would not recommend adjusting placements at all. You are probably going to look at these and think that they are a more advanced setting in the camp. And you would be right in that case. But just because it's a little bit more technically advanced does not mean you're shooting yourself in the foot by not using them. As Michael said, these will increase your... You're basically saying, hey, Amazon, I think I perform better here, so I'm willing to pay a little bit more, which is why Michael was saying it's going to make more sense once you have data. So if you can look at the data and say, oh, I do perform better here, makes sense for me to pay a little bit more, you can go about it in that way. But even starting off, and then I know there are some people, again, who have different philosophies, people that I highly respect who will go ahead and preemptively set these. Our preferred method is to not set them, look at the performance, and then adjust accordingly. And then the other thing that I think it's helpful to mention, both in the placement percentage as well as the dynamic up and down, is that it adds a layer of complexity to your, like a significant layer of complexity to your bid adjustments. So if you're in the beginning, honestly, bid adjustments is the one thing, like campaign launches can be very confusing, but is the one thing that gives you the biggest lever on the performance of your campaigns is going to be your bids. If you're adding in complexity upon complexity to how that bid adjustment is going to perform, and because these are dynamic, meaning they change based on every single search that happens, these things are changing in real time and changing your bids in real time. And it can, again, it just adds a layer of complexity. And if I thought that there was something that would be significantly missed out or some performance that would be significantly missed out by not leveraging these from the get-go, I would be comfortable explaining and talking through it here. In this case, again, both with the dynamic up and down as well as with these placements, we really don't even leverage these things ourselves upon campaign launch for the most part, unless there's some very special strategy we're running. So I'm more than comfortable saying you'll be perfectly fine to leave it alone.
Of course. So yeah, I agree. When you first launch it, you don't know what's going to perform best. Different niches are going to have different behavior up top versus other areas might have different product pages, consumer behavior might be different. You don't really know just yet. So even if you were to come in here, if you heard somewhere and you're like, oh, I need to start my top of search with 100%, first of all, pay attention to how much that will make your bid jump. The other thing too, even if you were to do that, you're still not done. You always want to go back and look, like, was this a good idea or not? So I recommend, and that's all to say, some of these options you can change later. Like, you're going to want to look and reflect and optimize. So, like, hopefully that takes a lot of pressure away from people of, like, you do know there is no way to enter the perfect number here. Or when you're setting your bids up top, there's no way to set the perfect number right here, right now. Also, I swear this was not 76 cents a while ago.
It was not.
Maybe it
was not.
Right? It just changed, right? The exact same product. It just randomly gave me a different suggested bid.
And they're higher. Yeah,
they're way higher. These things are just made up. Hopefully everyone sees that now. Anyway, the thing here, oh, also this one was
lower. Anyway, yeah. See what I'm talking about? Highest suggested bids a dollar. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is all to say, if you don't get the perfect bid right here, or you feel so much pressure to enter the perfect top of search bid modifier, don't worry about it, because no matter what you do, you're going to want to get into the habit of going in and optimizing it later based off what you see some data. So yeah, starting off, whether you feel extra risky and you want to set this to 10 when you get started, again, you're still going to have to go in later and analyze if that was a good idea or not when you look at their performance. However, these are generally pretty good settings to start with. Dynamic bids, down only, leave a blank, wait for data to roll in. Make a few less decisions when you're launching your first campaign. And then we get to campaign name. Now, highly recommend that you launch one ad group per campaign. So I'm just going to label this as what we actually did here. So it's part of my launch. It's a desk speaker, sponsored product, auto, January 2024. Okay, fantastic. I'm just going to copy that down right there in the campaign name itself. Do you ever name? I tend to name ad groups the exact same as the campaign name.
I do as well.
Just it's one less decision to make.
Yeah.
And then we're greeted with our daily budget. Where do we launch it? And actually, since we're going through the settings, it's going to give you a start date. In general, today's Wednesday. I would launch a campaign on Wednesday. If today was Friday, I would actually schedule it for Monday. I don't like to start on the weekends. Generally, people do a little worse on the weekends, and I want to kick things off on the right foot. So yeah, I would generally recommend waiting until Monday if today is maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, especially if you're going to be away from the computer over the weekend. Just wait till Monday.
Yeah, don't stress yourself out.
Exactly. And then an end date. Unless you have a very specific reason to enter an end date, most of the time, perhaps probably 99% of the time, people just let it ride until you go in and manually pause it. There's a country pre-selected for United States, and then it's going to ask for a budget. The most common one, an incredibly common question, is like, what should my budget be?
Yes.
I have an answer. Maybe it's the same as yours. And it relates a lot to what you mentioned about the click amount, like how many clicks will you actually get? So in this case, you know, if you're selling like a $20 product, think about it. If I sell a $20 product and my bid is a dollar and I have a $20 a day budget, I'm going to be capped out at like 20 clicks on max per day. And then you have to ask yourself, potentially a realistic conversion rate might be 5% when you launch, maybe 10% if you're super lucky when you launch. So 20 clicks, how many conversions are you really going to get if you're, you know? So generally, I want a budget that's big enough to hopefully have enough clicks that I can hopefully get one order a day. So, you know, I'm aiming for maybe 30, 40, 50 clicks a day. If I could, that'd be really nice. So if I'm selling a $20 product, a really simple answer here is maybe just double the price of your product. So like, could we just do 40 over here? And that's a really simple way just to think about getting started. What would you advise here?
Yeah, no, I like that method. of thinking about the number of clicks. I also love, again, it's one of those things, it's kind of helpful to know, and also honestly helpful to know in this context. So you can see below, there's this new, so this is a new function, the suggested daily budget. Their suggested daily budget is $130 for those of you listening, which is a significant budget. Also note, these are daily budgets.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes.
And so I think $40 is a good place to start. Now, if you're looking at what Michael just told you and you're just starting out and you're freaking out because you're launching a $50 product and you're like, how in the world can I spend, you know, afford to spend $100? Or maybe this is your newest, hopefully you have budgeted for ads, because that is a really integral part of product launches. Maybe this isn't your first rodeo, maybe you're listening for fun. The other thing that you want to keep in mind, very much like the bits, this is your starting point. Your budgets will change over time and should change over time. So if this daily budget runs out, if you're worried about starting too low, if the daily budget runs out, you can increase it.
Exactly.
If the $40 hits every single day and you realize this is not something that I can stomach, again, hopefully you've budgeted for ads, but if you haven't, you can always decrease it. And so again, this is your starting point. So your goal is, what is going to be a budget given the bids that I'm entering into the auction with is going to give me a reasonable amount of data to be able to make decisions? Because what Michael is saying is like, hey, if we had, you know, $20 budget on this, you can technically go as low as a dollar budget. You can. At a dollar budget, you aren't going to get enough data to even make a decision. So how we talked about looking at placements, or you're going to be adjusting your bids, you're going to be making all of these adjustments. You need data in the form of clicks to be able to understand how the shoppers are interacting with your ads and interacting with your product page when they land on it. And if you can't afford, because you've set too low of a budget, to even get any feedback, so maybe you're getting one click here, two clicks here, one click here, you need more than that to be able to make a decision. So that's where the budget comes in.
Yeah. And going through the last settings here, you know, I see it. If you are brand new, you're watching this video to launch your very first campaign, and you see an option to launch another company, here they're suggesting Canada. Don't do that.
No.
You're not ready.
Don't do it.
There's massive advantage to taking your Amazon business international, but clicking this button and launching your ads in Canada is not the way to do it, especially if you're watching this and you're first time, you're running through this the first time.
I agree.
Launching in Canada, I've got a lot of content on, and there is a great way to test it. There's a great way to expand once you've validated it. But for right now, we're not ready for that. So that's one less campaign. So we just launched an automatic campaign. Let's run it back and just take a look at the manual settings. And before we do, when somebody is on day one and they're launching campaigns, what is the combination of sponsored products that you would advise someone who's brand new to launch on day one? Is it just an automatic campaign? Is it automatic and a manual combo? Is it not an automatic campaign? Should they go straight to manual? There's many correct answers here. What do you like to recommend people who are brand new?
For context of this, I'm going to say you're completely brand new to this. You're just starting out. You're figuring out keyword research. You're figuring out everything. I'm going to advise launching an automatic and a manual, specifically exact match and also phrase match as well.
Cool. Let's do it. So I agree. Launch an automatic. Keep it nice and simple. We just ran through that. Launch it. There's tons of other content talking about optimizing it. When it comes over here, manual keyword targeting is going to be a really nice place to begin with. And then when you're here, you are hit with a really perplexing screen. I have a lot of suggested keywords based off that product, and I have suggested bids, custom bids, default bid. I have filtered by broad phrase exact, sort by order, sort by clicks. You know, I have a lot of different options here. I have this thing called impression share and impression rank, which don't apply just yet. It's day one. I'm launching my campaigns. What should I be selecting here?
Yes. So when we went through and we talked through the naming structure, I did kind of tease this, that we will put one match type per campaign, which again has single ad groups. So that is our preferred strategy. So if I was going through this, I would launch, I would go through, I would select my keywords. So where it says filter by under keyword targeting, I would be unselecting broad, I would be unselecting phrase, I would just be focusing on exact match. I would select my keywords. Again, we'll talk through. It's going to be very, very similar to what we just did with the auto campaign. There's going to be suggested bids. We'll have to sort and look through those and probably choose some things that make sense for us. And then we would launch this campaign. And then I would go through this exact process again. And I would actually probably select the exact same campaign or keywords that I launched in the exact to launch in my phrase match.
Yeah. Cool. So when we do that, and let's say we're going through and we launched the auto, we're coming back, we're launching the exact. I updated my campaign name, selected my products, manual, keyword, and I'm over here launching my exact. Like, this is a lot, right? Like, does it matter if I'm sorting by orders or clicks? You know, what do you recommend someone who's overwhelmed by the amount of keywords here to do when it comes to selecting the keywords?
That's a good question. I would ignore all of the sort bys and the keyword impression share and impression rank and all of that stuff. Simply look at the keywords. If you are launching a product, you did extensive keyword or product research.
Hopefully, yeah.
You should know your product inside and out. Yeah. You should have an idea of your target market. You've probably done a deep dive analysis on your competitors and, you know, what they're doing and what their products are. And at the end of that whole process, you have way more intuitive understanding of your product than you give yourself credit for. And right. Because we're staring at keywords and this is a whole new world of advertising, there are so many sellers or brand owners who will get to this stage and it's like, I feel as if I'm not an expert on this process of Amazon advertising. Yeah. That may be the case, but you are going to be far more of an expert on your product than even I will be coming in as a brand new account manager. And so I want you to stop worrying about all the data and the analysis and things. Look at these suggested keywords and say, how well does this describe my product?
Yeah.
And if you can focus on that, I promise you, you will be making much better targeting decisions than somebody who's looking at spreadsheets and is not asking themselves that question. We have extensive, intuitive, you know, like there's been so many like Adventure episodes or walkthroughs or workshops dedicated just to doing keyword research for advertising. And all of that is valid, but at the end of the day, all of us are still filtering it by how well does this describe the product? How relevant right. is this to the product?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is your product. These keywords, you pick the relevant ones. Now, the question also is how many, right? What if someone comes in here and just clicks all of them? Should I just be adding 200 of them? What's an appropriate number to reach for?
That's a good question. If you're starting out, I would say if you can find, I'm going to throw out a number that makes sense to me in this moment. And again, this is something that can be modified later on. but I'm thinking like somewhere between 10 to 15.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw out that number. And here in this space, there are a lot of potential keywords that are very relevant to this product. You are going to get in niches, and I've talked to brand owners where they're like, you said 10 to 15, and I can't find 10. So if you're struggling to reach 10, if you're struggling to reach 15 because you can't find keywords that closely describe your product, don't worry about the 10 or 15. Find as many as you can up to that point. I'm saying like beyond 10, 15, maybe 20. If you really wanted to go crazy with it. It also goes back to budgets, right? The more keywords you're advertising on, the more potential clicks you can get, the more ad spend you will have.
Yeah. So yeah, I think 10 to 15 is a pretty solid number. I would go through, I would select my 10 to 15. I would carry over any negative targeting from my auto. So I still have my notepad up. So I would just paste that right in. And then same thing. I think we're both in agreement. You would also select down only. You would also probably leave this blank, the adjustments by placements to start. You would be sure that you updated your campaign name to reflect that this is your exact. Hopefully you have the exact same budget that you can also apply to exact match keywords. You would launch this and then you would go through this one more time. And now you would launch potentially some phrase if you have more budget to spare. With phrase, same similar process, keyword targeting. In this case, you know, phrase is a little bit more wild. So if you selected 15 previously, maybe now you select just 10. So you select maybe perhaps just slightly lower, just because these are going to generate more clicks and impressions than your exact, probably, because you're going to be found for more things. So that might just be one small consideration for you. Same thing with negative targeting, and leave that blank and
launch.
Then you'll have three. We did not mention launching a product targeting at first. We probably have the same answer here because this is going to be a little bit harder to nail down early on.
And I would say the same thing. Someone may be listening to this who is pretty savvy and might interpret us not talking about product targeting or not talking about broad match, that, oh, those are the match types that they don't recommend you guys use. The reason why we're not recommending them in the case of product targeting, which is what Michael's saying, it's a little bit, the research on this is a little bit more nuanced. It's really a lot to go through. With keywords, you can kind of read them. Yeah, they can be more expensive. And then with broad match, there's a potential for a lot higher clicks. And with the potential keyword, there's more chances that you can lose money on broad match. And so if you're just getting into it, I would recommend long term, love broad match, run it in every single one of our accounts.
Of course.
But you'll be fine to stay away from it for now.
Yeah. So this is your day one guide to launching sponsored products. And we went pretty deep, Elizabeth. I thought we were going to do also sponsored brands and sponsored spend this episode. There's no way. But hopefully anyone who's out there launching their very first campaign, we've given them a lot more confidence.
Yep.
So the hierarchy there, have enough for at least an auto targeting and an exact match keyword targeting. Hopefully you have some left over for a little bit, looser targeting, which is phrase. Drop some keywords in there as well. And that's how to get started. Launch those campaigns, get going, and then your journey really begins because then you can start to actually optimize things. And, you know, you'll see, oh, my top of search is doing so much better. I'm going to increase it by 20% there. Oh, my rest of search is doing great. I'm going to increase that 20%. So on and so forth. My product pages are doing really badly. Why can't I put a negative number in here? And that's another conversation for another episode because Amazon only wants you to spend money. Anyway, hopefully we've given people a lot of confidence in getting started. It's really the start, just the start of their journey on day one. So hopefully we got to join some people on their day one on launching a campaign.
Yeah, hopefully we lessen the anxiety. Our goal is to walk you through it, explain it, and when it all add, not just, oh, here's what everything is, here's all the options and bells and whistles, but not just that, here's what we would recommend you set.
Yeah. So Elizabeth, my dear friend, thank you so much for coming back on the show. If anyone's listening, where can they reach you, interact with you, ask you more questions?
Absolutely. Ask me more questions. Okay, go to the website. If you go into the website under resources, I actually now have a Q&A link where I am doing a live every Thursday where you can show up and ask your Amazon ad questions. It's an awesome forum. It's literally one of my favorite days of the week. And then, of course, the website is going to contain contact information if you're interested in us auditing your ads and telling us what you think.
Amazing. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah. As always, I appreciate it.
Yes. And everyone, have a good one. And I'll see you next week here on the PPC Den podcast.